Are you ready? Welcome to the Think Millions podcast, a channel where you get an unfiltered, raw, and authentic conversation about the challenges of being an entrepreneur and tips and tricks on how you can scale your business to the next level. If you are looking to scale your business, then you're in the right place. Introducing our host, Alexa D'Agostino.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the next episode of Think Millions, where I bring real entrepreneurs, real experts to you to share with you, hey, you could do it, and this is how, right? And so today, I am beyond excited because this guest, I spoke to him. It was supposed to be a 10-minute call, ended up being over an hour. And I mean, besides the fact that I'm sitting here in awe of what he has done in his career, but I am just, he's such an amazing human. And I can't say that for everybody. Like, just because you've been successful doesn't mean you're an amazing human, but this guy is just amazing. Welcome, Mark Victor Hansen, the co-author of the Chicken Soup Soul series. I'm sure you all know of. He's a well-known motivational speaker, and he is just, I cannot wait for you to hear from him on why your story matters. And welcome, Mark.
Well, listen, it's my great pleasure. And everybody's story does matter because everyone has a story. And what we do at Mark Victor Hansen Library is bring your story to life, because I've done more stories than probably anyone on the planet in like Chicken Soup of the Soul. And then because we're dealing with entrepreneurs here, we did 1 Minute Millionaire, which my goal is make a million millionaires, because there's always one right, easy, acceptable, perfect way for every person. Because everyone has God-given talent. And then my story was written up by the lady who does 22 million chickens a week for Costco. Mitzi Purdue owns Purdue Chicken. And she's amazing, head of 40,000 egg women. But she said, your story is so good. And she did my book. And last year, we got 10 awards as the number one biography of the year called Relentless. So I'm not only keen about my book story, but I'm keen about everybody's story, including you. Everybody's got to have a book. Because a book is the best door opener. A book is something that if you give a business card, they chuck it in a 3x cylindrical file. If you sign a book to them, not only do they take it home, but they read it and get their spouses to read it or business partners. And it is the thing to escalate, elevate, and accelerate your business better than anything I've ever seen. Books are a marvel at every industry I've worked in.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because we were on the call about my event and Mark's asking me all the questions about me, right? And then immediately I'm like, okay, this guy's a book writer, you could tell. And, you know, for me, I think it's interesting because I think part of the issue is a lot of people don't think their story is really interesting or relatable when it most likely is. And there's always an angle to a story. So, I mean, one, I want to ask you, Mark, you had such an impact with your Chicken Soup and Soul series. So can you share what initially inspired you and Jack, who was your co-author, to start that project?
Jack Canfield and I happened to be in the same program with 6,000 people down in San Diego. He was a kickoff and I didn't get to hear him because I was driving down from where I live then, not Newport Beach. I'm now in Scottsdale. I was tie up and he saw me sell more product than anyone. I had 6,000 people table rush by everything that I was selling. And afterwards he said, can I take you to dinner? And do you know who I am? I said, yep, you're Dr. Jack Canfield, third in your class at Harvard. You sold 170,000 copies. I think was the number of the book called How to Build Self-Esteem in a Classroom, 101 Ways, and Humma, Humma, Humma. And he said, man, you're the best storyteller I've ever heard. And then he put them together and I said, well, we got to write this together. So we did Chicken Soup and we had 144 publishers say, get out of here. Nobody buys short stories. We won't sell short stories. And we got a little publisher that was bankrupt, Health Communications, HCI, down in Deerfield Beach, Florida, take us if we would buy 20,000 copies at $6 each. Now, we didn't tell our respective wives that that's $120,000 we signed an agreement to, because we wanted to have distribution, because we're each of us. He was talking in the education market. I was talking in a business market. And our sales were off the Richter scale, and everybody was buying our books at the time. And it was just so exciting. And we said, well, this book's going to outsell that. And then I wrote down outrageous goals and I interviewed the 101 best-selling fiction, nonfiction authors. And I wrote whatever they said about how to market a book. I know how to write. Everybody asks a dumb question. Well, how do you write a book? You don't want to go to a best-selling
just like
author.
That, Mark, how do you write a book?
I write a book. Don't come to me and ask that. Ask me how to market, because I can figure out markets that, and that's why we started our publishing company, because the book industry is contracted thanks to COVID. 19,000 independent bookstores called indies are down at 400. And I love books. I like books. My parents were illiterate Danish people, but lovely people and wonderful. Love my brothers and me, but I don't have any sisters. But they, you know, we didn't have books at home. And all of a sudden I learned to read and the whole world opened up, because all readers aren't leaders, is I think it's Jim Rohn's cliche, but all leaders have to be readers. And the people watching your show are intrinsic leaders, and academic education is great. You and I have great ones, respectively. But more importantly, what you're into here is self-help action education, the kind of books I write, kind of books and seminars you're doing right now. And what we're trying to do is transform everybody into becoming an entrepreneur. And an entrepreneur is so simple. A business person, you just find a problem, fix it, scale it, mean do a lot of it with you and other people, hire a lot of people, because every entrepreneur makes a lot of people rich, not themselves. And then, you know, make a vast market and then go sell the business. Simple.
So simple, right? I have a question for you. So before I'm pretty sure I know how many Chicken Soup books were sold, but before I think I announced the number that I think I know, you probably know the real number, but what was your, when you launched this book, were you like, oh, our goal is X? What was your original goal?
Okay, so I believe in 10-year plans and 1,000-year plans and all that. So the first plan that I wrote in our WOW, the business plan, is to sell 1.5 million in a year and a half. We came out June 28th, 1993. By Christmas, we'd sold 1,300,000. So we're 200,000 short. But the next year I wrote down that we'd sell 5 million books, and we did. And then we said we'd sell 10 million a year and then 15 million a year. And have never stopped. And we're somewhere in between. And it sounds crazy, but 500 million to 600 million. And the reason,
I mean, that's insane. How does it feel to know that 500 million people, and actually more probably, right, read your book, because it was purchased. But I mean, I can't tell you how many times I was given a Chicken Soup book, like, you know. So, I mean, you're talking most likely in the billions of people have read your books. That's insane.
Yeah, like in America, the pass along value is maybe 2 or 3, but in India, it's like 15 people.
Yeah.
And right? In China, it's like never less than 12, because the government runs publishing. I've been to China 80 times back when it was capitalistically communistic, and now it's Maoistically communistic. The point is that everybody should be free. And the only way to get freed is if you learn to read, as far as I'm concerned. Now, if you want to argue that, I'm glad to take any argument you want.
Now, you and Jim Keyes, the former CEO of 7-Eleven, would get along.
Jim and I are like that. We're both award winners and great.
We talked for like an hour yesterday about this exact topic. I 100% agree. I mean, hence I've 5 degrees and have read a ton in my life. And I think education and reading is so, so important. So Mark, we're talking to entrepreneurs right now. You are, I would say, the leading expert in the world on writing stories, right? I think we can easily say that. So why are our stories important?
Your life is a story. I mean, we started out, let's talk about prehistoric man or woman, that they sat around a campfire and told stories. And that got codified for us, if you're in the Judeo-Christian model, 6,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, and then again, 2,000 years ago. But suddenly those stories became a book. And like when nobody would publish my Chicken Soup for the Soul Bible, which I wanted to write, and the publisher said, nobody will buy your Bible. Get out of here. I said, well, sign this piece of paper. I'm going to, and I did it with little stories, get you in a big story with a purple cover. And I don't have one sitting in front of me, I don't think, right now, so I can't show it. But we sold 70,000 a week at Walmart. But all it is 66 authors that sell. And let me talk to that. When we were selling more books than anybody, and Dr. Canfield had been third in his class at Harvard, and his lady, one of his colleagues, 500 people in the Harvard class. I went to a public school, but she was running the New York Times bestseller list and wouldn't put us on it. So I call her. Jack didn't have the courage. He said, I can't call my colleague. I said, oh God, I will. No problem. So I call her and she says, she was pompous, arrogant, sophomoric, and said, we at the New York Times do not publish multi-authored books. I said, you're sure? She said, I'm sure. I say, do the Bible. It's got 66 authors. If we add math, 720, you said, you're in next week, son.
That's funny. Oh, my God.
Here's the more important point, that so we don't miss it, is that everybody's going to get rejected. Well, we had 144 people that said, kiss, kiss, get your ass out of here. We don't want you at this publishing house. Now they come up to me and say, it wasn't me that rejected you, it was the rest of the team, right? And you go, oh, thank you very much. But it doesn't matter, is it, if you have your, if four things I teach, you got to figure out what you want. And we wrote a whole book, my wife and I, call Ask, The Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny. Once you ask yourself what you want, you write down 10 goals a day. Number two is, it's got to be in writing. The spiritual law is a spiritual law. I didn't set it. It's got to, you got to figure out what you want by asking yourself, others, and God. Then you got to put it in writing. Three, you got to see it before you can have it, visualize it, because you visualize it, this, you know, Think Your Way to Million show is going to work. And then number four is, you get a team. 1 and 1 equals 11. You get a team to get your dream, and team, I've acronymed, together everyone accomplishes miracles. And you're here to do miracles, all of us. But one of the miracles is that everyone's got a book in them, and the richest place in the world is a graveyard with all the great inventions, all the great music, all the great thinking, all the great businesses, and most importantly, all the books that didn't get written, codified, so somebody else could be elevated up by whatever you've contributed in your writing.
Well, I think, like, I'll even admit, like, I've been staring at my book for 10 years.
Yeah, I told you on the phone, we got to help you.
I know. You know what it is? It's like, I think all of us, I mean, I'm just speaking for myself, but I've spoken to a lot of entrepreneurs that are like, I just don't think my story's interesting. And I don't think people are going to buy it and read it. I think it's imposter syndrome. But so for you, you know, going back to, I'm going to ask the question again in a different way. Like, why should I write my book?
Well, first of all, let me do it and answer the first part of your question was, I believe more in you than you believe in you, because the world tries to crush the spirit out of everyone. It's not just you. It's not just me. I mean, 144 rejections, and people say, well, you said an earlier lower number. Well, yeah, because we couldn't tell our respective wives how many we had. We kept them in a safe. And only Dr.
144 rejections, and now you're at over 500 million.
Now I'm the world's best-selling author, according to Guinness.
Wow. I mean, come on. If that's not a story of, like, perseverance, I don't know what is.
Yeah. But, you know, you got to make the decision so your subconscious can make the provision. I wrote that I'd be a best-selling author. I did a 3x5 card. I'm so happy and grateful that we're going to sell 1.5 million in a year and a half. Jack signed it. I signed it. Publisher thought I was wacko. But you look at it four times a day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, before you go to sleep, and it comes to pass. Now, back to your book, is that you need to bring it out because you have more to say than you think, but you need somebody that's experienced, like myself and my team, to pull it out, if that's what you want. I mean, if you only have four choices, you do nothing, which is not okay. You write the book totally yourself, which is a hard road to slug.
I'm taking that quote.
Yeah.
And do nothing, which is not okay. I'm taking that quote from you.
Oh, good. And by the way, that's true in life too, because this thing about, you don't want to die with the music in you. It goes through every zone, everything. And we believe that books ought to be written as much, and we're doing a lot of them, not only academics and white collar smart business wise, but we're doing a lot of business books on people that are doing businesses that are totally blue collar and employing tens of thousands. Like, we just did the book Elevate with Tommy Mello. Here's a guy who couldn't learn in school because he's ADHD. Well, he starts fixing a garage door, and then he starts a lot more, and then he hires people, and then he creates a new garage door spring that'll last 20 years rather than most of them last 5 on purpose, because they want you to go back and do another one. And he said no. And now he's got the biggest garage door company in the world. And in 30s, he made $650 million last year. He's got two guys that started 1 year ago and made $1 million each doing garage doors. This is blue collar work. Another guy we were doing a book with, Brian Hess, flies drones over parking lots like Amazon and Marriott and Walmart. And if somebody trips at Walmart, falls and breaks their leg, they sue Walmart and get $500,000. So he said, look, I know exactly where the hole is. I've got a video with the drone. I know how deep it is. I'll fix it for $50,000. You'll no longer get sued, and we'll do all your Walmarts. And his company's making $50 million a year. So wow. Blue can make and there's not, well, I got to be careful. Almost, I'd say 98% of humans can probably ride a drone, right? And then you just put a little camera on it.
Well, not my wife. She's crashed a couple drones.
By the way, I crashed a drone, so I got to... But the point is, by the way, everyone's allowed...
Everybody but her.
I know, but you fell before you learned how to walk, right? And you fell when you're, whatever, minus 9 months or something. Girls walk at 9 months, boys at 12, right? That's evolutionary biology. But when you fell, you didn't cry. You just got up and laughed, and everybody around you laughed. They said, you fell in your diaper. Oh, poor little girl. So that she crashed a few drones. Isn't that wonderful?
Right. I mean, so you've come across hundreds, if not thousands of stories, right? So do you know the number of stories that you've written in total?
Jack and I calculated at the beginning, we'd read 500 to 1,000 to find one that fit us, because what we did, we created the model first. We would write, and we had all these stories that primarily I'd written. And we said, here's the highway, here's the curves. It has to, first of all, cause instantaneous behavioral change. Second of all, it has to cause a happy tear. Third, it's got to cause goosebumps, God bumps, chili bumps, shiver bumps, whatever you call it. But for us, and most people watching, that's called corroboration of truth, I think, right? And we're spelling truth with a capital T. Next, it's got to cause a perceptual change. And some people say, well, what's a perceptual change? Well, this is a hand. But this side of the hand ages. The top of your hand ages. The bottom of your hand, this is ageless. This looks the same as it did when I was 21. Doesn't that make sense? Mm. Change your perception. Because when you change your perception, you change your result. Your perception now is, am I worthy? Do I have something to say? I'm holding up a mirror. You've been projecting that you don't. I'm projecting that you do, because the mirror reflects whatever you do. If I tell you to wiggle your ears, you wiggle your ears, right? But that you can't change it in the mirror. You change it in here. So you got to change the projector to change the reflection. And I'm saying, you got best-selling books, plural, in you, whether you do them with us or a major house or yourself, that's up to you. But I find your thinking irresistibly good. And the reason you have so many people watching is because everybody needs to know how to create wealth, and they need to have financial freedom, to buy their time freedom, to buy their relationship freedom. Most importantly, that you can be passionately purposeful in your freedom to do what it is you want to do that nobody else can do. And I'm 76 and rich. I don't have to work since I was 31, because I figured out how to get rich and teach people that forever. I ran a $100 million company, as you know, with 397 employees. And that's why when you get rich, you employ a lot of people. So, and the problem is, we're going into a turbulent time in America. Do you agree with that?
I think we've been in one, and it's going to keep getting worse.
Exactly. Like right now, we have 17% real unemployment, which is not being reported by the news, which is tragic, because when my daddy went through the Depression, it was only 25%. So we're not that far away, right? And not that I want it, but the way to get out of it, and the way to pay back this stupid inflation, which is government created, which we can talk to that if you want. I did a whole video on YouTube, how to outinflate inflation. Well, you do it, which is what Napoleon Hill said, think and grow rich. Mm-hmm. And there's more problems now, because 8 billion of us alive, than ever before. And there's a problem that you're uniquely able to solve, right? Problem is an opportunity in disguise. We roll up our sleeves, metaphorically speaking, go to work, solve it, scale it by hiring other people to help you do it, and charge them. You can franchise it. Do you live in Atlanta? Am I remembering that? Where do you live?
That's where our event is, but no, I live in Florida.
Well, in Atlanta, you got, you know, the Chick-fil-A, and the guy who started that was my good friend, and he adopts every orphan kid there and takes care of them. But
I mean, if you want to invite him to my event, and you know, I'll be okay with that.
I knew Daddy, but Daddy just died. He's in a ratio with Mr. Wonderful that ran both Blockbuster and 7-Eleven, our dear friend Jim. Anyhow, the point is that what he did is, he, if you will come and work at a 7-Eleven, he gives you the franchise if you guarantee you'll stay there for the rest of your life and then build multiple. I mean, what a heck of a deal. So what I'm teaching nowadays is everyone can start with zero. I was bankrupt. I was up and down $2 million and started speaking to little life insurance audience. They said, you are the greatest storyteller ever. So I self-published a little book, Stand Up, Speak Out, and Win, in little audiences, 6, 10, or 12. I sold 20,000 copies at $10 each. Back then, 50 years ago, it cost me $1 each. I took in $200,000. Today, that's the equivalent of $2 million. And I was selling it. And I said, look, this isn't a best-selling book. It's not a New York Times bestseller.
Still
it's
sold, though. Bestseller,
but it is my bestseller, and I'm going to assign to you, your wife, and if you got a dog, I'll sign it to your dog. And they all did what you just did. They all laughed. And today you go, oh, that's funny. Did he really do that? I really did that. I mean, I got a letter today from somebody who bought one of my first books 50 years ago and said, your book changed my life, and it's called Future Diary. It's a great book. Anyhow, It just, you know, we believe the beautiful thing about the book business is the industry calls it a long tail, meaning I'm getting paid on stuff I did 50 years ago. You do it once and you in network marketing and MLM, you know, you can work once and get paid forever. Well, in the book business, you really do work once and can get paid forever. You're cheating your readers. They'll benefit from your great wisdom, insights, knowledge, technology.
We'll take a poll, Mark, from the audience. If should I have Mark write my book, guys? All right. And we're gonna do a poll here. And we'll see.
You
want
to have
him
raise your hand or you want him to write you?
I know. So
I want to know the answer to that poll. And ladies and gentlemen, when you send it, you know, CC
Mark.
Yeah, CC Mark.
He doesn't believe me.
No, I do believe you. I think it's a great poll. And by the way, let's assume that's true. That's one of the publicity things that you ought to do. You say that, hey, look, 10 people, 100 people, 1,000, 10,000 people said, yeah, you need to write a book. That's true of all of your audience, too.
Yeah.
I wrote a book.
Yeah, it's a good point.
And by the way, nobody's ever done it before. I've never heard the question before. That's why you're a doctor and so smart. The point is, what if we added to the combined literature? Because my teacher in grad school was Bucky Fuller. And Fuller said, real wealth is ideas times energy. Well, energy is infinite. It's only recombined and recycled, right? Never destroyed. Just, you know, the three laws of thermodynamics. But
that's
ideas.
That's going to be the title of this podcast. Should the co-author of a chicken soup book write my book? There you go. That's the title.
But the point is, there's an infinite economy. And when you start writing, you learn more, think more, and can return more. And everybody ought to go around all day long saying, I'm getting into the infinite economy, and make the little infinite sign, which is like 8 on its side, which is a sacred number. It's the day I was born, January 8th. The point, so you all can send your birthday cards and letters. But the point is, there is an infinite economy that exists, that, and what your show does is gets us out of the drudge of working. Like, you might have to work at a job and then do your side hustle until your side hustle makes more money than your main job. And then you can go get other people to do your side hustle with you and get rich.
Yeah. I mean, I always say if they could take away one thing from every single show, then that's good, you know, and I'm happy with that. I mean, obviously taking at least two or three is better, but so, all right, I have a question. Your personality is so infectious. It's like, you are so positive. And I know that breathes through all your books too. A lot of your books are motivational, about positive thinking. So in your mind, how does somebody maintain a positive outlook every single day? Like, what daily practices do you do, or that you suggest to keep that? Like, you're so positive.
Well, thank you for seeing it, because I used to draw a picture and say, here's your mind as an example with a little stick figure. And you either have a PMA, a positive mental attitude, or an MA, a negative mental attitude. If you listen to the world mind, you're going to have a negative mental attitude. If you watch a crisis news network every day, you're going to have a negative attitude. You've got to, your input throughput determines your output. You got to input positive every day. I wake up and I tell myself I'm going to have a most magnificent, wonderful day, and my wife and I are going to have a glorious time. Then I listen. Well, in the morning, I make breakfast for the two of us. And when we're
coming over.
You're welcome to come over. Y'all come back now. We got the big house here. We got us a double wide. You'll like it. Anyhow, the point is that I'm always listening to inspirational, educational, motivational stuff from some of my peers, people I don't know, and business stuff, because there's phenomenal stuff. And it gives me what Zig Ziglar, my old colleague, and I did a lot of talks with Zig, check up from the neck up, because it's from the neck up that you go up. This is where the money is made. You make the money. The spiritual world, where all things are possible, comes into the mental world, which goes to the physical, which comes out in your results. And you've got a choice. You're going to think, and the world's binary. It's black and white, lights on, lights off, right? And all the polarities. But the point is, you're either going to be positive or negative, and you're not a little gray area. So I said, look, I'm going to go positive. If I see something negative, I'm going to shut off the TV, because you got the remote control, call your mind. And the 500 channels on TV is nothing compared to the tens of thousands of ideas you've got in your head. So you program for positive ideas, you're going to get positive results. Negative ideas, negative results. You say, well, that's pretty simplistic. It is totally simple, but no one else is holding up the mirror and saying, just look, are you positive or negative? You're running into mouth all the time and pissed off and angry and hostile and depressed and despondent. You've been inputting the wrong stuff, as far as I'm concerned. Now, yeah. You say, well, that's judgment. I'm not judging
the
against
the input is so important. People underestimate. It's kind of like my mom used to say, tell me who you hang out with and I'll tell you who you are. And she used to, my parents, literally, I never got punished. They didn't care about anything. They didn't even care about school. They cared about who you hang out with and keeping me busy. Because she always said, busy kid's a good kid. And if you hang out with the right people, then you're going to be fine. And she figured the rest will all fall into place. And it has a lot to do with positivity. If you have people around you that are going to drag you down and don't believe in you, don't support you, are negative, then you're going to be negative. And so I literally am a one and done. Like if somebody's super negative, and I've done this my whole life, like I don't even care if they're family. Like if you're negative,
especially if their family say adios.
Especially if they're family, I say sayonara. But you know, for me, it's I agree with you. I think because I'm a pretty positive. I think you could tell I'm a pretty positive, upbeat person too. And I love life. I'm sometimes too overly passionate, but I'm very passionate about what I do and helping people and making a difference in this world. Like, I don't want to die on my tombstone to say she made millions of dollars. I want my tombstone to say I made an impact. And anyway, it could be five people. I don't care. I just want to impact somebody somewhere. Right. And that's what's important to me. I can't live life in the negativity. Like I just can't. So I love that. I think the inputs, and I never really thought of it in that way, but now that you mention it, it makes so much sense. And even looking at my life, right?
Yeah. It's everybody's life. What are your affirmations like? What do you wake up and say to yourself? I'm healthy, happy, successful, prosperous, loving, loved, and beloved. I live in a state of constant bliss and joy. If you tell yourself that, you program to that and do it. And what we know in epigenetics now is that that's how every cell, every atom, every molecule of your body dance. And my wife is an epigeneticist student par excellence amongst other degrees. But is it you because you can get well? And we did a book with the top natural healer. He just passed away, but I wrote his biography. Reverend Ike was a supernatural healer. I watched him take people with tuberculosis, get rid of it. People with canes, get rid of it. People in wheelchairs, step out of wheelchairs. People with cancer, get rid of cancer. Alcoholism, get rid of it. And they call him a prosperity minister because he had 16 Rolls Royces and 8 mansions. But he saved my life when I was bankrupt. And I went up to, most people think it was Harlem. It was actually Washington Heights with a gold gilded building that he had. And it was amazing. And you can see him on, if you haven't watched him on YouTube, watch some of his stuff on YouTube, you're blown away because he was considered the money minister of all times and the front end of everybody else that's doing it nowadays. And he and I became best friends and I got to ride in his Rolls Royces. I got to be in his infomercial. We get to have a lot of fun together. Then I started out as mentee, as my mentor. And then suddenly I'm teaching at his Business of Living Institute in New York City. And then suddenly I owned this company called Enlightened Millionaire Institute with Bob Allen. We did 1 Minute Millionaire and we'd have 4,000 people, 40 weekends a year. And I'd hire Reverend Ike to come. And he wowed the people because he was an evangelist. And that's what he said. I'm not really a minister. I'm an evangelist. I'm here, you know, and basically he'd light himself on fire and everybody would come to watch him burn because he was so exciting. And he got him at a gut level to say, hey, wait a second. I saw people come in there down and out in rags. And in 3 weeks, they started to transform their mind by getting his tapes and little books. And they'd come back and they'd have a new swagger. They'd have a new car. They'd have new clothes. They'd feel good. If it was a man, they'd have a girl on the arm or vice versa or partners or whatever the deal was. And 5,000 people just got turned around. It was beyond amazing to watch Reverend Ike work.
I have a fun question.
Sure.
If you could have an unlimited supply of anything in the world for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Wisdom.
Ooh.
See, because here's the deal. Solomon and Reverend Ike, we've got it in the book. Both of us went to the Queen of Sheba and Solomon exhibit separately. I went in California and I brought my minister and a rabbi in California and he was in New York and went there. And then we got together and talked and we said, think about this. Queen of Sheba is 3,500 miles away coming by camels and horses and elephants with an entourage of 4,000 people to see a guy in Jerusalem. And she's 17 or 18 years old, the Queen of Sheba. A trip, think about it. In America from New York to LA is 2,500 miles. So we're talking about 1,000 miles long. I've been on the Great Wall of China a couple of times. That's 3,500 miles. When you're in the air flying in, you get to see the Great Wall of China, which, you know, is to keep out the Mongols because they're really good fighters. Anyhow,
one of the most magnificent things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the people who died, they just buried them in the wall and just kept building because those guys were autocrats and oligarchs at but they had a 1,000-year plan, which is dangerous because most people, long range planning as business people, is what am I going to do after lunch? Not a good plan. I teach you how to write down 10 new goals every day in your journal.
You could do comedy. Forget about book writing. You could do stand up.
Thank you. By the way, the reason my seminars worked is I never talk for over 3 minutes without injecting humor in the seminar.
Oh, I love it. I mean, I literally think I can throw you any topic and you can talk to me about it.
I think so. By the way, maybe not. I mean, you can't. We did get hit in. We did. We're open to every question, and we had to put them in writing. So we had my agent filter them. Because people said, well, how do I do the tires and make better tires? And I thought, God, you got to have Harvey Firestone up here. You don't need more, or the Discount Tire who we work with here. You can't have, I don't know how to make a better tire. I can tell you how to do better thinking to make a better tire, but I can't tell you how to make a better tire. So there are questions you could ask me that I'm a dolt. How's that? There's the nicest bad thing I can say about
Oh man. I mean, look, we could talk for hours here. I mean, you're just like, I, the word infectious just comes because it's like, I feel like I could be having the worst day and jump on the phone with you and I'm just all smiles and giggles. Like and that's like, that's not something that everybody has, you know? And I think it's amazing, what you've done for this world. I mean, you have impacted so many people with your books and your stories and also impacted the people of the stories you've told too, you know, and it goes both ways. And, it's just an honor to even know you, and have gotten introduced to you because I think, you look at me 15 years ago, I don't think I would ever said, you know, I had the co-author of the Chicken Soup series on my podcast. So this is just incredible. And I'm so honored. And for everybody listening, I think, you know, I took a lot away from today's talk, but I think the two things I really want to emphasize here is one, your story really matters. And there's people out there that need to hear it. And I think I go back to what I just said just now, like whether you impact one person or a million people, somebody will be impacted. And then two, you know, life is short. We need to make sure we're staying positive. And as Mark said, the inputs that you put in is so critical to remaining positive because it's so easy, especially in today's world, to become negative. And so, you know, make sure you're understanding the inputs, and that could be, as Mark said, it could be from the news, it could be from social media, it could be your friends, it could be your family. Everything that's surrounding you will impact you. And so this has just been so incredible, Mark. I really am just so grateful to have you here today. Would love to have you on to dig even deeper into storytelling. And I'm just so happy to have met you, and I can't wait to continue to build this relationship with you.
Pleasure. And I look forward to it. And I hope this helps every viewer you've gotten, that they share it with everybody, because it's important to learn how to think right, talk right, act right, ask right, to get the right results right here and right now in universe. Because like you said, life's short and you only got one shot through. And whether it's 70 years, or in my case, I'm 76, but I'm going to live to be 127 with options for renewal. And I will, because, you know, when the doctors check me out, they go, gosh, your body's that of a 38-year-old. And I go, good. And it is. You're supposed to live young, be young.
And I'm sure a lot of that has to do with your mind too, right? I mean,
mind is the only causative element at a human level.
I wish people would take care of their mind as much as they do their bodies or care about it, right? It's so, so important. Well, Mark, thank you. This has been phenomenal for everybody listening. I'm going to put Mark's information in the show notes so that you can go check out all the books he's written, more about him. He's just incredible. And as always, we will see you next time on Think Millions.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Think Millions Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We really appreciate that effort, and we'll catch you in the next episode.